podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
I want to invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. So we take an opportunity throughout the summer months to look at some perspectives on God. Who is God? How does the Bible describe God? What is important about God that we need to know? It's communicated to us in His Word. Today we begin with God is here. So Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning, for the assurance of knowing that you are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, I suppose the question is, where is God? And there are times, as you saw from the video, that God seems very far away from us. And we wonder, is he on vacation? Has he forgotten about me? Where is God? Did he take the day off? And sometimes we wonder, and I'm sure that the people of Joplin, Missouri wondered where God was when their entire town was wiped out by a tremendous tornado. But you have to admit, there are times when God seems very close. There's some special times in our lives, times of worship, beautiful scenes like waterfalls and sunsets and family times, incredible moments like the birth of a child. And you can almost hear God's voice, like Adam and Eve heard his voice there in the garden. He's so close. And I wonder if the people in Joplin, Missouri have felt the presence of God in a new way, as many Christians have rushed from all over the country, all over the world, to bring assistance and aid. Where is God? Some days you sit down with your Bible and you read and you read and you read and you read and you never make a connection. You're just reading words. Some days you sit down with your Bible and you read and there's one phrase that pops out of you and it just explodes and it gives you the immediate meaning and fulfillment and depth that feeds your soul and nourishes you for that day. Where is God? Well, this morning, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? First of all, Jeremiah chapter 23, we read these words, "Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord." Truth of the matter is that God, according to the Bible, is everywhere. God is everywhere. He fills it all, heaven and earth. He's both far away and near at the same time. He is transcendent above all, but he's also within all. He's here right now. Sometimes he's at certain locations in a very special and particular way, but that doesn't mean that he's not everywhere else at the same time as well. God is everywhere, according to his word. Well, what else does the word say? Well, Psalm chapter 46, verse 1, we just read, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Those words, ever-present, tell us that God is here. with us. Psalm 46:5, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. God is there in the midst of the city. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. And Eugene Peterson, in his Message translation, used these words, God lives here. Here is where God lives. No matter where you find yourself, there is God in your midst. God is everywhere, and God is always near you. Always near you. No matter how far away God seems at any given moment, he is always near. If he seems far away, it's probably a consequence of your circumstances. It's probably because of the burdens that you're experiencing in life, and they're piled up on top of you, and because of that, God seems far away. You become worried. You become overwhelmed. You become angry. Your own fear and your insecurity because of the circumstances of your life block you from feeling his presence. But he is still there. He is always near and ever-present help. But your mindset sometimes has you feeling as if he's far away. David expressed those feelings in Psalm 13:1. He said, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? God, have you forgotten me? Have you taken the day off? Is this your vacation, God? Where are you?" And so if David was able to express those feelings from the depths of his heart, I'm sure that there's been a time in your life when you have felt that way too, no matter what the circumstance was, and you ask God, "Where are you?" But the truth is, according to God's word, he is always near. He doesn't take a day off. He's never on vacation. In fact, when you go on vacation, he goes with you. He's there with you. He doesn't take a day off. Oh, what else does the word say? It also says that God is where you least expect him. Where you least expect God to be, he's there too. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I go and make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. Where can I go? There's no place I can go to get away from you. As deep as I can get, as far away as I can get, you will still be there, God. He is where you least expect him." Think of all the places God has been throughout the history of the Bible. He was in the lion's den. He was in the fiery furnace. He was in prison. He was in the city of Jericho when the walls fell in. He was in the temple of Jerusalem when the city of Jerusalem was being destroyed. He was with the captives in Babylon as they were forced to leave their home country. He was in the manger. He was on the cross. God was there all along. And think of all the places he is today. You know, it's easy to think about God as being here in church. We come together to worship, and it's easy for us to experience him and feel that he's here. But where else is God this morning? He's also in the nursing home. He's also with the soldier in Afghanistan. He's in the White House this morning. He's in the strip club. He is everywhere. Even in the places where you least expect God to be, he's there. And this was something the religious leaders of Jesus' day couldn't get a handle on. It made no sense to them whatsoever. I mean, here they were, religious people, trying to live their lives for God and do the right thing and be in the right places and spend time with the right people. And they were looking at Jesus, who called himself the Son of God, who many supposed was the greatest rabbi of their time. As they watched Jesus, where did they find him? In the homes of sinners and tax collectors. And he walked along the roads with Samaritans and with fishermen. And Jesus walked up and touched lepers. And he spoke with people who were demon-possessed. He spent time with prostitutes. And then Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. I mean, to the minds of these religious people, that didn't make any sense. Wouldn't make any sense to us either, perhaps. God's place was in the temple, right? Not the marketplace. You expect him to be in the church, not at Walmart, right? God's place is the holy place. Well, think again. Because God is where you least expect him. He's here in your church, but he'll also be in the restaurant with you this afternoon. He'll be at work with you tomorrow morning. When the phone calls start coming in, he's in your home. He is where you least expect him, but he's where you most need him as well. So what else does the word say? Psalm 139, verses 11 to 12. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, you know, maybe I can find a dark place where I can hide from God. Even the darkness will not be dark to you, God. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. God, I can't even get away from you in the dark. I can't run away from you. You can never run away from God. Trying to hide from him is pointless. So if you want to get away from God, you can't. God is everywhere. He's always near you. He's where you least expect him. You can never run away from God. So there you have the evidence from the Word of God this morning. I mean, Jonah tried to run away from God. What happened? God was with him right there in the belly of the whale. You cannot run away from God. But what does it matter today? Because we understand that that's what the Word says, and I think we can all internalize that and understand it. We can say, all right, God is everywhere. I believe it. But what does it matter? What does it mean? What difference does it make today? First of all, if it's true that God is everywhere, you should be afraid. You should be afraid. Well, why is that? You know, there's this recurring moment in comedy television and movies. You've seen it before if you've watched movies, I'm sure, where an actor is talking about another character in the movie, saying all sorts of horrible stuff about him in front of his friends, saying blisteringly negative things. And suddenly, as he's sharing all of this stuff and his venom's coming out, he realizes that the people that he's talking to and sharing these horrible things to are not looking at him anymore, but looking kind of beyond him. And what does the actor say? You remember, you've seen this happen in movies before. It's recurring. He's right behind me, isn't he? She's standing right behind me, isn't she? You've seen that before, haven't you? The thing that makes it funny is that it's probably happened to some of us before. It's probably one of our greatest fears. The truth of the matter is that God has always been standing right behind you. He's always been there. He's seen it all. There's nothing that surprises him. He sees everything. He's with you always. There's nothing hidden from his view. Anything that's taken place in your life. You may think that you got away with something and nobody knew about it and nobody saw it. Think again, God was there. God was there. He saw the whole thing. He knows. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God has seen it all. There is no backroom deal that God has not experienced. He knows all of the details of it. He was there. He saw it. He probably understands it better than we do, because not only does he see it, but he's inside, hearing the voices that are going on inside of our heads. He has seen it all. He is there. So how does that make you feel? I think somewhat it should make you afraid. It should fill you with fear that God has seen it all. But in addition to fear, I think you should just be in awe. Be in awe of the fact that God is everywhere, that he has seen it all. Psalm chapter 46, verses 10 to 11 says, be still, as we read, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And I like the way that Eugene Peterson puts it in the Message version. He says, step out of traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. Be in awe of God. He is huge. He is almighty. He is here. There's nothing that he misses. It causes us to freeze in our tracks for a second and to notice. But mostly, God's presence causes us to be encouraged. I hope that's true of you this morning, that you don't walk out of here saying, oh my goodness, God has seen it all. He's watching me. And that it causes you to be filled with guilt. Because if we really understand the nature of God, he is a loving, caring God. He loves us, and it's his nature to forgive us. That's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross. So be encouraged. Exodus chapter 33, the great story about Moses. Moses says to the Lord, you've been telling me lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You've said, I know you by name, and you've found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord replied, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. So Moses is uptight. He's saying, God, you've asked me to lead these people, but I don't know what on earth I'm doing. And God says, don't worry. I've got this. I will be with you the whole way. And then listen to the words of Moses. This is great. He says, you know what? If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. If you're not going to be with us, we're not going. We need your presence. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? God, you need to be with us. Don't you dare let me take one step outside of your presence. I need your presence. So be encouraged that we have a God who is always present. He has promised to be with us. The life-giving, comforting, powerful presence of God with us each moment. Psalm 23, verse 4, David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Like the shepherd leading the sheep, there's the security and the comfort and the encouragement of knowing that God is always near. And then in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, after Jesus lays on his disciples this great commission that they are to go into all the world and make disciples, he says to them, don't worry, I will be with you the whole way. I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the promise that God has given to us, his followers. He says, I send you out into the world. You are in charge of the gospel, but I will be with you always. That's encouragement. He fuels his mission with his presence. So in other words, when we talk about all these things that we're planning to do this summer, whether it's Vacation Bible School or Seeds of Hope Camp or Kentucky or Puerto Rico, all these trips that our youth are going on, we have this promise from God. I will be with you. So some of our young people may be asking, well, what do I have to contribute? I'm going to go all the way to Puerto Rico. I'm going to meet people there. I don't even really speak their language necessarily. And how am I going to connect with them? How am I going to make a difference in their life? I'm going to feel out of place. God will be with you every step of the way. Every step of the way, his presence will be with you. In fact, I would encourage each and every one of us to pray the prayer of Moses. God, if you're not with me, I'm not going. If you're not with me, I'm not going. I need you every step of the way. So think about your life. The high points, the low points, the incredibly painful moments, the stupid things that you have done. Think about those. The places that you went that you wish you never went. The problems that you experienced, the habits that you developed. The days when everything went perfectly, the day when you experienced your greatest failure, as we saw in the video with Chris Pleckenpaul. Every moment of your life, think about it, God was there. God was there all along, shaping you, forming you, using those moments to draw you closer to himself. Even in your deepest, darkest pain, he was there. And be encouraged because he will continue to be there. He has promised his presence. God is here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the comfort of your word this morning. Initially, Lord, when we investigate the truth that you are always with us, we are filled with a sense of guilt because we know that we are sinners and we are not worthy of your presence in our lives. That is why you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, so that he could take our place there, and we, through faith in him, have forgiveness from our sins. So we stand before you as an open book, but an open book that's been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. So, Father, we pray that you would continue to forgive us of our sins. But in addition to that, Lord, I pray that we would feel your presence every day. Lord, that when we wake up in the morning and it's another Monday morning and there's work and responsibilities to get accomplished, Father, that we would recognize your presence with us, whether it's rush hour traffic or whether it's our most difficult hour of the day, whether it's sitting in class, taking a test, whatever it is, wherever we find ourselves, God, help us to know your presence, to recognize that you are there. And most importantly, Lord, in those times when we seek to minister for you, to change this world through your word, we pray for an extra special measure of your presence on those days. Thank you for your promise that you will never leave us or forsake us. Father, help us to live in it, to embrace it, to experience it. Help us to be confident in your presence. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.